Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 171. I'm Rob Wright, security news director at TechTarget, and I am here with security news writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Alex, we have some big news to talk about. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say this is an emergency pod, but we are recording this on the 14th of April, Wednesday. Some interesting news broke last night, yesterday evening. The DOJ, Department of Justice of these United States of America, announced something rather unusual in response to the exchange attacks, exchange server attacks. They put out an announcement saying, I'm just going to read the headline because I think your reaction, like as we were sort of sorting this out earlier, I think is very telling. The announcement said, Justice Department announces court-authorized effort to disrupt exploitation of Microsoft Exchange server vulnerabilities. And the announcement basically details how the FBI took, I think, what we could call unusual, not atypical action to remove web shells, malicious web shells, from systems running Microsoft Exchange server. And they took this action via a court order and deleted web shells. Now, you're probably thinking, and I was thinking when I first saw that, great, remove those web shells. But what was your reaction, I guess, upon first seeing this?
Yeah, it was definitely a ball of yarn would kind of be a way to describe it. Because when you read the headline, and then as I was writing my story, I was looking at what some of the other outlets and cybersecurity people were saying. And I was like, okay, this seems a little weird, a little unprecedented, but not bad. Mm-hmm. And then I started digging into the court stuff, especially, and you did some digging too.
Sure did.
And it was interesting, like, okay, the FBI accessed these victims' networks kind of without their consent.
Yes.
It might not even be kind of, but I'll explain why I'm saying
kind of.
And they were informing them after the fact that they had deleted the web shells, but the way they deleted the web shells, which you can sort of get into, was not exactly accessing the network. But then I read it further and found out maybe through legal technicalities or whatever reason, the FBI's what they did do was they petitioned for access to the victims' networks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they accessed the victims' networks directly, but they were given the ability to, but they were given 14 days from April 9th to accomplish their goal. It's April 14th, or was April 13th, so presumably they finished it, but now they have 10 days left. But then, and we can unpack all of this, but then we found out that it's not actually, they didn't actually delete all the web shells. They deleted web shells that were implanted before Microsoft made their disclosure from one unnamed threat group, which explains why it was hundreds of web shells, not tens of thousands of web shells.
Yes.
And I know there's a lot of unpacking, but as we can see here, there is absolutely a ball of yarn to everything happening.
Yes, I felt bad this morning for you, knowing that you had to kind of go in, and we didn't even touch on this in the story that we just pushed out about this. We didn't even go into this sort of the legality of all this, the controversy around Rule 41, which we can touch on later in this podcast, but it's a thorny issue. And basically, on one hand, you have a situation where the FBI somehow, or DOJ or both, somehow figured out that a specific threat group that was using these web shells. They were able to identify that threat group, identify the file path they were using to access these web shells, and the password that they were using as well. And they used this, they used that information to instruct the web shells to delete themselves. And that's great. Like I read this last night as it's, you know, unfolding on InfoSec Twitter, and I'm just, you know, I'm just like, wow, this is cool. But then you get into it and you kind of, I mean, there's a debate about this online, right? There's a number of InfoSec folks who are like, what gives the FBI, essentially, this is the argument I'm paraphrasing, but what gives the FBI the right to exploit these exchange vulnerabilities or exploit these web shells? I mean, they're basically doing the same thing that the hackers are doing. They're using them to access the victims' networks. And then there's other people who say, well, that's not really what they're doing. All they're doing is issuing a command to the web shells to tell them to delete themselves. And I think the truth is somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. And I think what people need to be clear on is, yes, they did. They sent, you know, basically a command to these web shells, delete yourself. Web shells are deleted. But before they did that, via this court order, they were able to, the court order granted them access to these victims' systems. And they copied the web shells for evidentiary purposes. And then they deleted them. So it wasn't a totally remote affair. It's not like they gained access to the command and control infrastructure somehow and just sort of flipped the switch and, you know, boom, made these web shells disappear. It seemed like on some level they did have some access to the victim's systems. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to get in there to copy the web shells. Mm-hmm. Now, what they did while they were in those systems, you know, we don't know. It's not really clear to me from reading these documents, the affidavit in the case for the court order or the DOJ document. But it's clear, like the one thing that is clear is that the court order, and you wrote about this in the story, it grants them access to these people's computers. Now, whether they fully leverage that or not, it's unclear. But I mean, it's kind of broad. I mean,
can I tell you why this is so weird?
Yes.
Like just from a narrative perspective, what's going on here?
Yes.
It's because the press release and what the FBI did, even though it's not this, the way it reads is like they're conducting some undercover operation against victims. That's like almost how it reads. That's not what's going on.
No.
But that's how it feels almost. Just the idea of doing something to these victims' networks without their consent.
Yeah.
Getting court orders and warrants to do this. And then to inform them after, which granted, I mean, I can't think of anyone with a web shell on their system that wouldn't agree to get it removed.
Right.
And I understand kind of their argument that, like, we just have to take care of this. We've identified it. They might not respond to us. We need to get it taken care of.
Yep.
And it seems like the level that they actually access the network is definitely highly questionable, but at the same time, it feels a little nasty, even if it's not.
It there's a range of emotions. There's a range of hot takes on this as well. There's a lot happening here because you're right. There are a lot of questions that come out of this announcement, starting with the fact that, like, why didn't you inform them? Like, what was so important that you had to take this action now? And as your story mentions, there's some color, there's some information about this in the affidavit, there's an unnamed FBI agent who the name is redacted in the affidavit for the court order. And this agent says, quote, based on my training and experience, most of these victims are unlikely to remove the remaining web shells because the web shells are difficult to find due to their unique file names and paths, or because these victims lack the technical ability to remove them on their own. Okay. Okay. Fine. But the FBI knows the file path, file name and path for this, and the password. So what was so important that they decided to, like, I don't know, just sort of go it alone without informing? Like, why not just contact them, CISA, FBI, whoever, or even Microsoft, loop Microsoft in to say, you got to contact these guys. They're a customer. They're running an on-prem version of Microsoft Exchange Server. You got to tell them. They got web shells. We know who they are. We know who's running them. They can get rid of them or whatever. Or just not even that. Just say, hey, we're contacting you. We're the FBI. We're going to delete these, but we need access to your system. Will you do it? Now, they either must have thought these organizations wouldn't have given them access, or they, like, this was like a time sensitive, like they had to do this now and ask for permission later rather than, you know, the other way around.
Yeah, the argument there would be that maybe they felt that, okay, at a minimum, we could have emailed these customers, victims, whatever, beforehand and given them even a 24-hour window.
Yeah.
But would that have encouraged accelerated activity from the threat actor? Might have been a question they asked themselves.
Yeah, and there's questions about this. Like, okay, remember, these web shells were placed inside these environments via compromised exchange servers. So how are you going to get in touch with them in a way that you're not tipping off the threat actors? Can you be sure that even if you set up an alternate or covert communications channel to these people, that they're not, you know, that they're not, that those aren't pwned as well? Like, I mean, there's, I get it. There's a lot of questions about if you go through sort of normal procedure, contact the victims and, you know, even if they respond, are you going to blow your op? Are you going to alert them? Are they going to change the password to these web shells? And then you're kind of right back at square one. Still, the big question to me, Alex, is who are these organizations? It's something we didn't really get into your story. I haven't seen much sort of discussion about it outside of, you know, a few tweets here and there. But I'm just wondering, like, you were talking about hundreds of web shells. Now, that might not necessarily mean hundreds of organizations. It could mean a dozen, a few dozen. But what's so important that they had to go this route, that they had to go ahead and access these environments without permission? It's unusual. And if it's a government agency that's, you know, I mean, you don't, like CISA, the FBI, whoever could just go in and do it themselves. I mean, or they could just make a phone call. Like, they don't need to sort of, to take this type of action. I doubt it's, you know, defense contractors or big tech companies or cloud providers or whoever. I mean, I assume that they would be responsive to, you know, whatever warnings or alerts or, you know, have done their due diligence to remove these web shells. I don't know. I don't know who these organizations are. It sounds like they had a tough time getting in touch with them or identifying who owned these systems and who was running them. I mean, remember the section of the DOJ announcement where they said that they're attempting to provide notice of the operation and the court order after the fact to all the owners and operators, but, you know, some don't have publicly available contact information. So, like, sounds like they don't know how to get in touch with some of these.
They were saying the ISP was something they were, like, considering doing.
Like, you have to go to the ISP to get in touch with these organizations?
Contacting by email is also kind of a it makes sense, but it's also a little goofy at the same time.
I mean, the thing that I thought of kind of instinctively as I was working this out of my head earlier was, you know, maybe some of these victims are like, I don't know, open source organizations. You know, they're great targets for a nation state threat group, you know, because you can commit another supply chain attack. You can tamper with, you know, files or place backdoors and various updates. And, you know, we've seen some of that activity recently. But I don't know how many open source organizations are like running their own Microsoft Exchange servers on premise. I don't know that any of them use Microsoft Exchange or Outlook, or, you know, maybe they're using Gmail or Proton or whatever. I don't know. I thought maybe it could be like a maybe smaller sort of vertically oriented cloud providers, backup providers, mission critical application providers. I mean, you know, we're looking at that story about the application company that was hit with a, you know, suspected ransomware attack that provides, you know, inspection, you know, they provide software for vehicle inspection systems, and vehicle inspection systems and infrastructure in 8 states has been taken down because of the cyber attack on this company. Like, maybe it's just a smaller company that has like a legacy app or a mission critical app that a lot of places use, and they got pwned and they don't know it, and they don't have many people working there, and I don't know, but it still doesn't explain how you're not able to get in touch with them. Like, you can't find publicly available contact information, like, and you got to go through an ISP. It just seems really weird.
Okay, here's one potential idea.
Yes,
so you're asking, who could these unpatched people still be?
Yeah,
these these people who have no awareness of web shells,
yes,
or exploitation,
yes,
in their system. Yep. Okay, so one idea is, I'm thinking about, like, who are the people who don't patch their systems?
Oh, and yeah, which, you're working on which a story I'm not, about that.
Yeah, down the line, next month. But it also ties back to a story I wrote about a month ago.
Yes.
Who doesn't patch their systems?
Yeah.
And this is not speaking for every company, not every municipality, but it's the people without the cybersecurity programs. Where do you see that? You see that in manufacturing. You see that in local governments, sort of smaller government, county, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the county ones would be very easy to access, especially because technically they, in a sense, they're part of the same government that the FBI is.
Right.
But the industrial stuff, maybe restaurant companies, like places where you might not have an immensely strong cybersecurity presence.
Yeah.
Critical, not critical infrastructure, maybe, but not necessarily. Those are the places, especially manufacturing, that would be big enough.
Yep.
Might be difficult to contact.
Yeah.
And wouldn't have the cybersecurity posture. So that's one potential idea.
Yeah, and your point about maybe state and local, like, granted, maybe not every organization that they're trying to contact doesn't have, you know, the proper information, you know, email, phone number, whatever, available for them to contact. But there probably are a few, it sounds like, that they've been able to identify. The state and local government networks probably fit that bill, like you're talking about. Maybe a little underprotected, under-resourced, aren't up to speed on every little hack, even as big a one as, like, a, you know, the proxy logon 0 days and the Exchange server attacks, and maybe it's just something they missed, and, you know, the FBI sort of comes across this information and sees that, I mean, they, you know, in those court the court documents, the affidavit they're talking about, which is, by the way, heavily redacted. They're talking about, like, you know, IP address that, I mean, it sounds like was communicating with these web shells, that there was command and control infrastructure using this IP address, assigned to whoever. It's blacked out, and that they were able to get this information and say, wow, you know, like, we trace this activity to these organizations or these local governments. And, you know, still, it just seems weird that you wouldn't, even for a local government that doesn't have a huge, like, InfoSec team or IT department, even, that you wouldn't just be like, you know, put a courtesy call into them, like, hey guys, it's the FBI, it's Quantico, and we found some web shells. We're going to go ahead and delete them. We just want to give you a heads up because we need to obtain the evidence. Like, I'm sure you're not going to get pushback from those guys. But enterprises, I mean, again, you know, just to reiterate, like, we're talking about email servers. We're talking about, like, you could get a peek at some very sensitive, confidential communications. And I don't know that many enterprises are going to be just totally cool with that. I doubt it, even. Which brings us to the next point. How do you think this is going to unfold? I mean, you got the no comment from Microsoft.
And
seems like they did not want to touch this.
No, that was not the case. That was the case.
Yeah.
And the FBI hasn't gotten back to me yet. But they're, in all fairness, their spokespeople can sometimes take a little longer
sure.
to get back to me. So we could have an update for the story in the next 24, 48 hours, whatever. But I'm still not holding my breath, considering the amount of redaction that was in that report.
Yeah, there's a lot of information missing. Yep.
Just one more theory I had that I was thinking about. I'm on my Twitter homepage now.
Yes.
And ThreatPost just had a cute tweet about the article where they were talking about CyberSWAT, Fed swoop in and clear web shells from exchange servers. And I know that they're just being cute and it's fine.
Yes.
It's funny. Yep. But it did make me think about this, like, sort of perspective from the government, which is like, what if they see this as that kind of situation, right?
We don't want to
scare people. We don't want to alert people. We'll go in, we'll take out the cyber bombs, and then we'll get out Zero Dark 30, right? And then, that might be a bit of a stretch, but it was an angle that this tweet made me think of.
Yeah, no, and shout out to our colleagues at ThreatPost. I'm looking at it right now. That's a good tweet. But, you know, like, I included, I should say, this quote really struck me from the DOJ announcement. There are a few people quoted in the press release, but there's one in particular, acting U.S. Attorney Jennifer B. Lowry of the Southern District of Texas, because apparently the court order was granted in Texas. And she says, quote, combating cyber threats requires partnerships with private sector and government colleagues, end quote. That's interesting because in this case, it's totally a government op and it didn't even inform the whatever. The statement continues, quote, this court authorized operation to copy and remove malicious web shells from hundreds of vulnerable computers shows our commitment to use any viable resource to fight cyber criminals. We will continue to do so in coordination with our partners and with the court to combat the threat until it is alleviated and we can further protect our citizens from these malicious cyber breaches. End quote. Now, like, we joke about the, you know, the cyber SWAT thing, but that quote to me, I read that and we talked about it earlier. That quote to me was like, yeah, we went there and we're going to do it again. If we think it's the right move, we will absolutely seek the same court order and almost 1000% certain we'll get it. and will access victim computers without their consent or knowledge to remove malware or to do whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I think they do on some level think that they like that. Yeah, they're like a site like a cyber SWAT team swooping in and getting the bad guys here. And this is they're going to do it again. And, you know, the debate about whether that's, you know, all the implications of that and the dangers and the risks, that's a debate that would take us another, you know, not just another 30 minutes, but probably an hour. But that's, I mean, that's where this is going. This is, you know, the InfoSec community right now is just a flutter with this debate and this topic and this action and just going back and forth over it.
Yeah.
It's no wonder Microsoft doesn't want to touch it, but their silence is a little weird.
They might be working on something now. Like, we don't know they how much time in advance they knew about this. I'm guessing they didn't find out at the same time as us, but I'm guessing I think they found out recently.
Yeah, I think they might have found out the same way we did. The this blowing up on, you know, in the news, on Twitter, whatever, you know, popping up in your Google alerts or I don't know. And I think it's a tough question for Microsoft, right? Because like if you're Microsoft, what do you do here? You're like, good job, FBI. Or do you say, I can't believe they did this. This is the government shouldn't be doing this.
It's the real life. It's the real life versus the cybersecurity, the computer world, and what that means and how the communities think about certain things.
Sure.
Because if this was an FBI operation in the real world to handle some sort of terror threat and protect people, it's like, good, they're doing their jobs. But in the context of the internet, in the context of computers, where privacy advocacy is so huge, where personal autonomy in the internet space, the identity, people wanting to be left alone. I mean, I've the dark web, when you take away the black market stuff, it's all privacy advocates. And it's just, I'm not saying, like, think about it the FBI's way. They're right. These people are wrong. I think it's because it's the internet that the first argument doesn't apply as well. And because this latter, these, the privacy advocates that are all over security and for great reasons are feeling this way. So my point is that, like, it's because of the internet angle that makes this kind of scary, even though it's hard to tell if this was the right or wrong move.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, maybe that is part of what Microsoft is currently trying to do rather than just making a sort of hastily composed response or comment to this. They're sitting down, the top executives, trying to figure this out and, you know, how should we respond to this? And, you know, assuming that they didn't have any sort of knowledge of this beforehand, how they want to sort of segment their response. Like, because here's the thing, if you're Microsoft and you come out and say, you know, you criticize the FBI and you say they shouldn't have done this, this was wrong, this was an overreach, then, you know, you may have people saying, well, these are your customers. What did you do to get in touch with them? What did you do to remove these web shells? Now, Microsoft's done a lot. They've released a couple of tools to help people. They've been shouting from the rooftops, you know, that this is a threat and that even if you're patched, you gotta look for these web shells. They've done a lot, but there's still going to be people out there saying, well, you need to get in touch with your own customers and take care of this and don't leave it to the FBI to do it. I'm not sure that that's a valid criticism. On the other hand, you have, like, if Microsoft even sort of tacitly supports this, they're going to get slammed, like you said, by the InfoSec experts, the privacy experts who feel like, man, this is dangerous. If it's not dangerous right now, then it's on a slippery slope that's going to lead to dangerous actions. So they're in kind of a no-win scenario, I think, right now.
At the risk of being wrong, can I predict how Microsoft is going to react?
Sure, yes.
I think the obvious thing to say is that they're going to toe the line. But I think what's going to be interesting and what I think there's a good chance we could see is Microsoft in either pretty direct language or not that direct language criticizing the FBI at the same time they're prioritizing the safety of them. Because what's nice about the FBI from Microsoft's perspective is that they're not a public company.
Yeah.
They're a government, and they're our government, and they're this current administration, so they're not really going to get sassy, and they're not going to bite back, most likely. So Microsoft can probably find a way in their wording to say nothing and also look mildly cool at the same time.
Yeah, to offer a little bit of pushback maybe without,
Yeah.
No, that's a good idea. We'll see. I mean, it seems like they've got to say something eventually. So we'll obviously be on the lookout for that, and we'll see where this goes. You know, maybe more information will be revealed from law enforcement. Maybe there were private organizations involved in the investigation into this IP address and the specific web shells. Maybe there were other vendors that that helped out. We don't know a lot right now, but what we do know is this is a pretty pivotal story. Pretty important action taken by the FBI that's going to have a lot of implications and repercussions going forward about how such situations like this are handled. So good times, fun times, interesting times, maybe not fun times. So, but Alex, thank you for writing the story on this, and thank you for taking the time out to podcast with me about it. I'm sure you're sick of it, but thank you.
Never. Thanks for editing.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.